You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God. Now, Senior Minister, Reverend Carolyn Mathlin.
Good morning, and welcome to Unity of Tustin on the next installment of our OC Food Project Collection Day. Hopefully we'll have a total, after the first service, there were 40 bags that we received and several hundred pounds. I didn't get that number. So looking forward to giving you a wonderful total next week when we feed back what we received. And we also are in week two of probably actually what's a three-part series, even though I said two-part. It's expanding. Next week, we're really going to be focusing on Earth Day and celebrating that in some beautiful ways. But this week, we're continuing the series of looking at that time period between the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. And what I've been really excited and passionate about is exploring that time period with way more depth than I ever have before. So I'm excited to talk a little bit more about what is alive for me and invite you into that consciousness as well of living the resurrection consciousness that is the template that Jesus the Christ offered to us all on our own spiritual journeys. So it's going to be a beautiful day, and I look forward to sharing it together. And as we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer. So I invite you to close your eyes and taking a deep breath in and out. Continuing to follow the breath. Noticing as you follow the breath, your body, the state of your being. Focusing on the pauses in between the breath. Or realizing that you don't pause, or you pause so instantly it's hard to catch. Allowing for those pauses to maybe be extended, to sense into the space between movements as a metaphor and as a symbol of our willingness for space in between the thoughts, in between our to-do lists, there's a consciousness, a field from which we live that is grounded in this spaciousness, this aliveness. That is prior to thought, underlying all action and activity. And so from this field, we recognize the promise and the truth that where two or more are gathered, here I am in the midst. There is this Christed awake consciousness that is living and alive right here, right now, living in and through and as each of us and in our collective field. And so, O Holy One, essence of all that is, we open to that movement and that activity that is grounded in the silence, that is filled with spaciousness. And willingly release and align with that highest capacity that we are to be our living reality. Whatever is alive in our life right now, that we consciously see all of that coming into this greater awareness, this expanded field. And so in this dedication, in this consciousness, we say, thank you, beloved one, essence of all that is. And so it is. Amen. So I really have been loving and fascinated with this whole new perspective I have on the resurrection. Really, my entire spiritual journey so far has been, you know, we commemorate Palm Sunday, in even actually going back, we start with Ash Wednesday. There's this time of purification during Lent, and then we commemorate the sacred sacrament of the Last Supper. The crucifixion happens, and then the party. It's the resurrection. And then really, for the most part, at least in my upbringing in Unity, that was kind of the end of the story. We really never focused on that, I recall. And again, you know, things are always out there, and until you're ready to really integrate them, you probably don't hear them, and that might be exactly what's happened in this case. But I really had never focused or heard a focus on the time period between the resurrection and the ascension. And occasionally we would pop into the Pentecost, but really not even that. And I had this beautiful conversation with someone at the silent meditation retreat about really her orientation, not as much being or her the place where she was really living from and focusing on, wasn't really even about Easter, the resurrection anymore. It was really about Pentecost. And that reminded me that, oh yeah, there's more to the story. In fact, there's 50 days more to the story, according to the Bible. And what I've been really loving and seeing is that the time period after the resurrection and before the ascension is where a lot of us actually live after we have gone through a really shattering dark night experience. We can pop back into those places of letting go and seeing things fall away, but it's from a different consciousness. Fundamentally, there is a new orientation that takes hold. Because in the resurrection consciousness, there is a fundamental shift. And it's a fundamental shift toward having an orientation toward life, not death. Last week we looked at Peter and the disciples and in depth and really noted that the disciples were, and even Mary and all of them were still looking in the place where things were dead, in the tomb, for what was alive. And there's still, in the unresurrected consciousness, there is still a preference to, an orientation to, what is dead more than what's alive. To trying to defend or to keep in control of things that are really not ours to control, that are ours to actually come into a new relationship with. The unresurrected consciousness is constantly in a battle and is holding on for dear life because the world is very small. And there's a lot of that going on right now in the world collectively. But the resurrected consciousness is different because the resurrected consciousness, the aspect of us that has walked through a completely shattering experience and recognizes what the Easter message is really all about, that there is life on the other side of death. That is a whole new way to live. And that's what those 40 days in between the resurrection and the ascension are fundamentally about. Now, 40 is a very significant number in the Bible. There's 40 days and 40 nights that Noah's on the boat. Moses wanders the wilderness for 40 years. Jesus is in this transitional space between the resurrection and the ascension for 40 days. 40 symbolically represents that time period of it takes as long as it takes. So after we have gone through these times in our life when our fundamental way of self-referencing changes, of seeing the world, There's this new way of living that has more of an openness to it, is grounded in love in a new way, is able to hold paradox. In our next series, we're gonna get into this big time, because to be able to hold seemingly opposing truths simultaneously becomes essential. And anyone who's walked through a dark night experience, a true dark night experience, has that capacity, because there has been a need to integrate seemingly opposite truths in one greater reality. Doesn't mean we don't have preferences still. But our orientation is able to hold complexity in a whole new way from a resurrected consciousness. And there is this willingness that's developed and I'm not saying we court it. At least I haven't yet. Maybe I will. I don't know. This might have something to do with our personality and our Enneagram type still. But I don't actively court doing every shadow work I can possibly do and letting go of things. But there is, in the resurrected consciousness, there is a willingness to. When we realize that something is changing, something is dying, something in our life needs to come into a different alignment, there is a willingness to align with that. That in the pre-resurrection, it's all about fighting it, of stopping it, of controlling it. Totally ego-based. And even if it's for the road to hell is paved with good intentions from that consciousness, because even if you're trying to do something good, the karmic and energetic toll that it takes, because it's so based in ego, or what some call the false self, this propped up sense of who I am that has everything to do with things that are changeable in this world. Like, I have this type of job, I'm this type of role, I'm a mother or father. Oh my gosh, that's one of the most heartbreaking ones, when your kids turn 18 or whenever they leave and your role changes. That's a huge shattering, especially for some women, because their whole world was oriented around these little beautiful beings, and now what? your life purpose is taken away. All of those, everything that's oriented and we derive our sense of self to something that's in the world at solely, doesn't mean we can't include it, but when we look only to the world for who we are, that's pre-resurrection consciousness. The dark night or the Good Friday service, the crucifixion experience, asks us to give that up for a greater truth. And that gets carried into the resurrection consciousness and living the resurrection consciousness. Because now we know, we don't, at least I am not super excited about it, but I'm willing and I know, I trust when something is changing and shifting that I lean into it. That's a fundamental difference between living the resurrection consciousness and pre-resurrection. There's also a sense of experiencing a unified field that starts to develop. This cosmic Christ's body that Paul refers to later in the scripture. And it really is not just about the Christian experience. This is this kind of cosmic field, this compassionate field, this open heart is found in many traditions where you start to sense into the unity and the interconnectivity of all things. What you do to the less of these, you do to me. That same kind of consciousness that gets developed in this resurrection consciousness. There's also a fundamental shift in a capacity for wisdom, which is not information or knowledge. Wisdom is a higher capacity that accesses knowing beyond the mind and utilizes it in the world. So there's a capacity for wisdom, open-heartedness, and action, and they're all intertwined. They all come together. There's also a need to seek congruence between the internal and the external. In the resurrection consciousness, it's no longer about me only. So there was a great list that Father Richard Rohr put together in one of his books, The Immortal Diamond, and it was on ways to practice this resurrection consciousness. And there's 12 of them. The first six are really more about your spiritual journey and your own interior, internal process. So the first is to refuse to identify with negative or fearful thoughts. Now, this has embedded in it a lot of psychological and spiritual practice already. Because in order to refuse to identify them with them, what do you have to do first? Recognize them. Gail. You have to recognize that you're identifying with them, which, let's be honest, most people don't. It's just how they see reality. Reality is that you should be afraid. Reality is that you should be negative. Anyone been or know people like that? Yeah. So the first, living the resurrection consciousness, after there's this really this again this orientation to what is positive and alive that doesn't negate the fear, but it doesn't also take it as this is who I am and this is the basis of reality. Do you feel the difference? This is the difference in Dr. David Hawkins' map of consciousness between above 200 and below 200. Below 200, you have no capacity for really seeing into the resurrection consciousness. You're a depleting energy. You're not seeing anything but depression, fear, anger. And so the resurrection consciousness, I don't know that I would use the word refuse, but it certainly orients more to seeing life and being a positive influence. If something is dying, the best thing you can do is to hold it as it's dying. Don't die. Has anyone been with someone when they're actually literally dying? How helpful is it to tell someone, don't die in that moment? It's not going to happen. And if it does, then there's other things at play. But ultimately, when someone is really making their transition, the most compassionate, loving, positive thing we can possibly do is stand there and bear witness and hold the light with them, especially if they're afraid. So there's a new orientation that doesn't identify with fear or negativity as its primary way of seeing the world. And then there's some practical things that he talks about and ways to practice the resurrection, like apologizing when you hurt another person or you have created a situation that is hurtful. Undoing the mistakes that you've made with a positive action. Is this sounding a lot like 12-step? Yep. He has a lot of 12-step orientation in his work. So there's some action. Again, wisdom, love, and action are all intertwined. You stop indulging in the belief of your false self. This is, again, that part of us that says, who I am is, and it's all based in this world. Personally, you know, who I am is a woman, a minister in my 30s that lives in Orange County. If I am so identified with any of those and they're taken away, I don't know what to do with myself, right? This is that crisis of faith, crisis of identity. So in the resurrection consciousness, our identity is no longer tied to only the false sense of who we are, although it still includes it. But fundamentally, we're rooted in something that is more true, that is more powerful, that is more alive. It is that Christed consciousness that Jesus exemplified and said, this too is for you. This isn't just me. And in the resurrection, in that period between the resurrection and the ascension, he was demonstrating this through the series of ways he was showing up. And he said, you know, before the resurrection or before the crucifixion, he said, what I need to teach you, I cannot do any longer in physical form. I have to leave this physical form. There is a spirit, there is a consciousness that needs to take you the rest of the way. It cannot be a physical person because there's too much of an emphasis on the personality, if that's the case. That's another way of indulging and believing in the false self. We can believe and orient ourselves to thinking that someone else's false self is more whatever. Believe in them instead. It's the same thing. There's this movement away from over-preferencing the in-the-world components. And with that movement away, there is a choice to live from our true self, or that Christed nature, that I am consciousness. It's really corny, but sometimes it's just in our culture, and so it's helpful. I do my automatic translations, but I think of that phrase, "What would Jesus do?" Because, and again, I automatically translate it into what would higher consciousness, what would the Christed consciousness invite me into? What would love and wisdom invite me into? But you know, what would Jesus do is a pretty out there in the world statement or question. So it just that pops my memory. But what I'm really struggling with making a wise and loving choice. It's helpful to ask that question. What would this higher capacity look like and live from? And then, of course, the fundamental principle of most work is before you change anyone else, in fact, you cannot change anything or anyone else, you must start with yourself. You must start with yourself. And these are all really individually oriented, aren't they? They're very much ways to practice the resurrection for yourself that ask you and call you into a higher way of living and being. I was reminded of a quote from John Donne. He has a series of writings he calls Meditations, and they're really explorations of a variety of topics. So he has this one Meditation 17 where he talks about the interconnectivity of all. And this is where this quote comes from. No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent. So there's this, in his writing, there's this coming back to the interconnectivity of all. And that's a key component that actually in the four commandments of sorts that Jesus gives, he gives 49 throughout the Gospels. Four of them are during this period of the resurrection to the ascension. The first one is to Peter to feed his sheep, tend the lambs, tend the sheep, feed the sheep. The next one is that he actually baptizes the disciples. This is where the peace be unto you, as the Father has sent me, even so I send you. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. That's in this time period. So there's a lot of initiation happening during this time between the resurrection and the ascension. He commands them to go to Bethany, where he will meet them to receive God's power, to receive the commission. And then finally, there is the Great Commission, it's called, where he makes them disciples. This is recorded in two of the Gospels, where he sends them out to bear witness to what they have experienced and lived through as living testimony to the truth that they know. So throughout these commandments during his life, and then especially in this resurrection to ascension time, there's an orientation of initiation and of living it, of being out in the world. So the next six of the resurrection ways to practice the resurrection are really oriented to the interconnectivity and to serving, and to stepping outside of ourselves. So the first six have more of an orientation to what's happening in here and coming into right relationship with our worldview. And then the next six primarily are about stepping outside of ourselves. This is a key aspect to the consciousness, the resurrection consciousness. So the first one is to serve more than be served. To seek the common good over your private good. And these are the ones that I personally will own. I'm really sitting with and working with. I've been listening to Richard Rohr's or reading Richard Rohr's emails that are coming through on, he has a whole series on bias to the bottom and looking at how to live this resurrection consciousness in the face of what is arising in the world. And the orientation of Jesus in the Gospels of privileging and preferencing, which number 9, of the people in pain who have been excluded or disabled in any way. Who did Jesus hang out with? The outcasts. The what?
Alcoholics and drug addicts and prostitutes. And
yep, and tax collectors. Yeah, and lepers, the people who were unclean, the disenfranchised. That's why one of the reasons he was so so feared, because he was including the disenfranchised. What we most are afraid of and what we most deny. And if you look in today's society, he'd be hanging out with the LGBTQ community who have been disenfranchised. Minority groups. The homeless. Yeah. Prisoners, refugees. The ones that are in the fringe who bring up some of our shadow. And what is not included in the whole. This is part of living that resurrection consciousness. It's not just the first 6, as much as some of us really want it to be. It's not the end of the conversation. Number 10, seek just systems and positive and policies over mere charity. This is a really important one. We've been working a lot with this in the prayer class on Monday nights, and it really is an across-the-board truth, actually, that whatever you're doing is really, if whatever level of consciousness you're engaging in will determine what it looks like. So you can do charity. And you can check off the box that you did your good work for the day, but there's really little consciousness in it. And it's very much rooted in a sense of the false self. It's edifying something that really isn't quite real. Does it do some good? Absolutely. And when it's rooted in this resurrection consciousness, this is about interconnectivity, about living from this field of being that is about the awakened Christ, the awakened consciousness that is embodied. It is from a whole new paradigm. It is about seeing the beloved in each other and about embracing that consciousness that what you do to the less of these, you do to me. And being a voice from that level. Again, remember that the focus is shifting to preferencing having internal and external congruence, and having internal and external congruence within a collective, which speaks to systems and policies that hold a new value and vibration. Number 11, ensure your medium is the same as your message. This is where the idea of the ends justify the means goes away. The means are the end. It's a whole new way of seeing reality and living reality. And then finally, and this is the one that really holds all of them, that in the end, love holds it all. It is the embodiment of this resurrection consciousness. And again, how long does it take to live this? As long as it takes. So if you're in the place of really still identifying more with this kind of identity of who you are in the world and are needing to build that up, then great. Absolutely live that until it doesn't work anymore. And through grace, hopefully one day it won't. Because then you can actually start to live life, which is what separates us a lot from most other churches that say, come here and you'll have an amazing, great, shiny life. Well, that is true to a certain degree, but that's not our orientation, right? Our orientation is different here. It's on living a real life, about living from the consciousness that is the embodiment of the I Am, and cultivating a capacity for that through our practice of giving, selfless service, meditation, spiritual study, shadow work, transformation of the self. All of those ways that really assist us and partner with us in both the effort and the grace, the willingness to let go. And in the end, we do have a beautiful life. It is a beautiful life, but our goal isn't a beautiful life. Our goal changes. Because ultimately, if you want a shiny, lovely life, typically what that's really pointing to is a life of meaning, a life of connection, of love. Can you sense into all the times that you've wanted something? They really represent something else, like freedom. Or to feel like you belong. That's what we're cultivating. Those qualities and those states of being, those stages of consciousness, that really is the resurrection. So I invite you this next week to start to really hold that. And we have an opportunity, and we had an opportunity today, and we will next week as well, to really step in as a community. And I'm honestly excited to see how this is continuing to unfold. Because as a community, I am holding that we start to live this in a new way too. And we have been little by little. In 2012, a team got together. I don't think I had anything to do with this or writing this, but they put together a vision for our outreach program. It's from 2012, so 4 years ago, that said, Unity of Tustin fosters an environment that promotes selfless service and community interaction. Don't you feel these words and hold them? We see a thriving community that is connected in a way that embodies love as its foundation and conscious action as its manifestation. We see a fellowship ministry forming that supports the overall feeling and tone of connection with each other and our greater community. We see a thriving community that is connected in a way that embodies love as its foundation and conscious action as its manifestation. We're going to be talking, and Tom Bopel will be up here next week, talking about the ways that we as a community are going to be invited into doing that. It will not be about me. It will not be about our staff. It will not be about our board. It will not be about our key leaders. It will be about all of us living this resurrection consciousness. What happens in the individual needs to start happening in the collective. What happens in the interior or the values that we hold are coming out, need to be practiced in a way that is based and grounded in consciousness. And so I'm excited to start to really step into that in some new and beautiful ways and to do it together. So with that call to action and that tease for next week, I invite you to prepare your tithes and your love offerings to be received today in support of this ministry, in support of these grounds, in support of the work that we are doing in healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God. knowing that whenever you need a safe place to come to, this place is here for meditation, for prayer, for spiritual work. And so we give to that as the source of our own spiritual good.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the Donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.